Brethren, as Christians, we are to uphold and keep the Ten Commandments that are given to us by God. We have to be good examples to others, because Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, said, "You are the salt of the earth." And in verse 14, he said, "You are the light of the world." How good of a job are you doing? Speaking of jobs, we've all had co-workers who knew of our faith. And they like to scrutinize our every action to see if we're going to slip up, do something wrong, say something wrong, so they can find fault in our Christian example to say, "Aha, I had this happen a few times, and people thought that I said something, and I said, that's not what I said. Well, it sounded like you said that, and no, I didn't." One of the easiest ways to actually fault a Christian is, which displays hypocrisy, is by our tongue. What proceeds out of our mouths a lot of times shows our true character. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 10, when he had called a multitude to himself, just speaking of Jesus, he said to them, "Hear and understand, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man." Then his disciples came to him and said, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. If the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch." Then Peter answered and said to him, "Explain this parable to us." So Jesus said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hand does not defile a man." For this sermonette, I want to focus on one of God's laws, which is always on display. Always on display. Could we still be breaking the third commandment? Could we still be breaking the third commandment? In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7, God spoke and said, "You shall not take the name of the Eternal your God in vain, for the Eternal will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." We obey and worship the Eternal God, our Father. He has set us apart from all others as first fruits of his harvest of mankind. Are we breaking this commandment by acting in a way that is contrary to our calling, or speaking his name in vain? The third commandment focuses on showing respect. It addresses the way we communicate our feelings about God to others and to him. It encompasses our attitude, our attitudes, our speech, and our behavior. As the salt of the earth and the light of the world, our actions or behavior is part of this commandment, as well as our thoughts and attitudes. But I want to focus on our speech. The use of God's name in a flippant, degrading, or any other disrespectful manner expresses an attitude of disdaining the relationship that we have or that we are supposed to have with him. This can vary from careless disregard to hostility and antagonism. It covers misusing God's name in any way. The New Revised Standard Version translates the third commandment this way: "You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name." The meaning of the Hebrew word here, shav, is translated wrongful use or misuse, and also in vain in other translation. But it means deceit, deception, malice, falsity, vanity, emptiness, according to Vine's Complete Expository Dictionary of the Old and New Testament words. God demands that we represent him accurately, sincerely, and respectfully as a condition for having a close relationship with him. King David wrote, "I will extol you, my God, O King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Eternal, and greatly to be praised, as his name is, as his greatness is unsearchable." We just sang a song, a psalm about that, this hymn that led into this. The most obvious way of breaking the third commandment is through the use of profanity, using God's name in an abusive, vulgar, or irreverent slang or jargon. The defiling of the name of God, or that of his Son, Jesus Christ, is nearly universal. Since the dawn of history, most of mankind has failed to show respect to God, the respect that God deserves. We all know co-workers, friends, family, and even your boss using God's name in a wrong way. We see it on TV shows and in movies, even in the media. What really drives me nuts is when I'm watching a sci-fi movie and it's based in a totally different galaxy, has nothing to do with Earth whatsoever. So nobody would even know who Jesus Christ is, and yet they'll use Jesus Christ's name in a derogatory way, using it as a swear word or a curse word. And I'm sitting there, and it just doesn't make sense to me. Why did they have to do it that way? The writers that wrote the script put that in there, and it doesn't even relate to the situation whatsoever. They put that in there because that's what the audience expects. For the audience's sake, that they throw that in there. It drives me nuts when I hear it regardless. You hear kids saying it on TV. It's just bad writing. Saying God's name or Jesus' name as a filler word or as a curse word breaks God's law. One should never even exclaim, "Oh my God," unless it's part of an actual prayer to God. Such misuse of God's name violates the third commandment. Yet society is inundated with it. And the same goes for the euphemistic expressions many consider to be innocent, such as, "Oh my gosh," or "Oh my goodness." The euphemism "geez" is used to substitute for God and Jesus. People who speak these things demean and degrade God by flippantly using his name in everyday conversation. They unwittingly announce to all who hear them that respect for God is simply not important to them, even though they may believe he exists or actually be a Christian. Even saying something like, thank God, can break the commandment if God is truly not being thanked consciously. Some will say that this doesn't do any harm, that this is not disrespectful. But no matter how indifferent one may regard this kind of disrespect for God, the third commandment makes it clear that God himself does not take this very lightly. For the Eternal will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Misusing his name in any way spiritually defiles us in God's eye. Spiritually, it defiles us. Look what it said about the name of Jesus. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 9, going through to 11. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those in the earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The name Jesus signifies significantly, it means God is salvation, or God saves. Christ means anointed one. It's the same as a Hebrew word that's transliterated into English as Messiah, a title of the one prophesied to restore Israel and the rule of all nations. As the Son of God, Jesus Christ is both our Savior and King. Only through him can we receive salvation. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Paul said, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. In other words, whatever Christians do is to be done according to the approval, authority, or authorization of Jesus Christ. In his name. Using his name, however, in any manner that would bring reproach, disrespect, or shame on that name is a sin and violates the third commandment. I do not believe that any of us are deliberately going around taking God's name in vain. I don't believe that. However, are we using euphemisms? A euphemism is the substitution of an agreeable or inoffensive word or term for one that is indelicate, blasphemous, or taboo. Webster's dictionary has this definition of euphemisms: the use of a less direct word or phrase for one considered offensive. Some examples are to use passed away instead of died, or passed over to the other side instead of died. Or a classic one that the women always use, powder your nose. I got to go powder my nose instead of I'm going to the bathroom. It's a euphemism. It's innocent. It's, you know, some euphemisms are considered polite. And some are even funny. But some can just be a way to try to say something considered wrong or offensive without being punished. Alternative swear words, while seeming less offensive or even funny, can still, at their heart, be profanity, swearing or taking God's name in vain. In our modern world, we hear this commandment violated overtly and frequently all around us, with God, Jesus, Christ, or Lord uttered merely as filler words, exclamations, expressions of anger or contempt, or in conjunction with cursing or profanity. One of the most pervasive abuses of the name of God is the phrase, "Oh my God, oh my God," which has become so much commonplace that it now has its own abbreviation, OMG, for text messaging. It's become universal. Now, I know it seems to be innocent, but don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. The use of euphemisms is just as damaging as the actual word or saying. They're just softened up enough so that even children can get away with saying those things without getting their mouth washed out with soap. These are some common euphemisms that are used. And it's the only time you're going to hear me say these, by the way. I do have a list of some that I will hand out to anybody who wants them. There's an exhaustive list here of different euphemisms that are kind of used so that you may know, but I'm just going to mention a few of them. Euphemisms for God. Goal, G-O-L, or golly. Gosh. Gad. Ye gad or ye gads. By George or by Jove. Or even Almighty. Can be euphemisms that that speak of God. Now you've heard the clothing line, Oshkosh by gosh. Well, I always refer to it as Odd-Cod by God. It's a euphemism. For Jesus or Christ, they use G's or G. She's or gee whiz, which actually really means Jesus wizard. Cripes. Somebody will say cripes for Christ. Or jeepers. By jingo. Jeezers. Or bejeezers, which means by Jesus. All euphemisms that relate to taking God's name in vain. The initials of Jesus Christ, JC. We've all heard these before. Jiminy Cricket. Jiminy Christmas. Jumpin' Catfish. Jeepers Creepers. Yeah, all the kids say that. Jeepers Creepers. It's a euphemism for Jesus Christ's name. Jeezy Creezy. Judas Christopher. Jason Crisp. There's many others, too. There's many others here, too. For Lord, oh, Lordy or Lottie or Lod. Holy. Now, holy is a word that refers to God's nature, works, or anything God is present or involved in. Any use of this word in conjunction with any other word outside of its correct and proper context is a violation of the third commandment. Euphemisms for eternal judgment. Yeah, there's a whole category. Euphemisms for eternal judgment. Another category of euphemisms that is inappropriate for Christians to use is those asking God to condemn or damn a person or a thing. Euphemisms for condemn include darn, dern, dang, doggone. Doggone is a euphemism for both the words God and damn. You wouldn't think about that, but it is. And any other combination of these words with euphemisms for God, you're condemning somebody. It's something we don't have no authority to do. Again, it sounds innocent, but it isn't. It's wrong. Again, some of the things that we habitually say as they have been passed down from generation to generation seem to be innocent, like saying, goodness gracious, or my goodness. But are they? Are the words we speak important to God? Jesus Christ said this, but I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. It's Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37. Euphemisms that were coined to utter God's name without proper reverence or to judge another's ultimate fate are inappropriate for a Christian. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Brethren, search the Proverbs or even the Psalms about what is spoken by our tongues. There are so many verses on that. One of them is Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 23. I'm going to read from the God's Word translation. Whoever guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. So many times we open up our mouth and we say the wrong thing. We're speaking so fast that our mind's not keeping up with our mouth. And you say something wrong, and once you say it, it's out there. You can't take it back. We just take our time while we're speaking, then we know what we're saying. That's how so many people use other fillers. You know what I mean? You know? Right? Huh? You know? You know, you know, you know? You know, you know, you know. When somebody gets up there and they start using that filler, that's all you hear. You sit there and you start counting. Oh, one, two. But people are using God's name in vain as a filler word as well. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. For he who loved life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Peter here is quoting Psalms 34 verses 12 and 13. James chapter 1 and verse 26, and I'm also going to read this from the God's Word translation. If a person thinks that he is religious but cannot control his tongue, he is fooling himself. That person's religion is worthless. The things we say are not the only way to show our disregard for the third commandment, because those who follow Jesus Christ are known by his name and perform their service to God in his name. Their behavior always either honors or dishonors him. God's word portrays those who obey his commandment as the salt of the earth and the light of the world. They represent him and what he stands for before all humanity. They carry his name as his own special people, zealous for good works. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. They are called and chosen to honor his name by their faithful example. Revelation 17, verse 14. That's what those first fruits that are coming down with Jesus are referred to as. The Apostle Paul explains that people who hypocritically call themselves by God's name and portray themselves as his people while refusing to obey him actually blaspheme his name. Speaking to some of his countrymen, he says in Romans chapter 2, starting in verse 21, again I'm reading from the God's Word translation. As you teach others, are you failing to teach yourself? As you preach against stealing, are you stealing? As you tell others not to commit adultery, are you committing adultery? As you treat idols with disgust, are you robbing temples? As you brag about the laws and Moses' teachings, are you dishonoring God by ignoring those laws? As the scripture says, God's name is cursed among the nations because of you. Paul explains that even some who regard themselves as Christians can disgrace God's name by their conduct. Our conduct should be above reproach. Paul explains that Christians are ambassadors of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Ambassadors of Christ, his personal designated representatives on earth. That's who we are. Could we still be breaking the third commandment? We know the other commandments. They're very clear of what not to do. But this third commandment, there's so much more involved with it than we think. It's how we conduct ourselves, our behavior, our thoughts. You can put on the show at church that you're this wonderful Christian, but go home and be somebody completely different. Are you a Christian when you're alone? Remember, you're not alone. God's there. Jesus is there. They still see you. They know your hearts. I've always been careful not to take God's name in vain. And it really bothers me when I hear others do so. But I'm not innocent, as I have said things that are inappropriate. And I've not always displayed myself as the light of the world. We who believe in God, we are who we are. But we are to change our behavior to become more like Jesus. We are not to put on some act like we are righteous, because we're not. The only righteousness that we have is what God gives to us. We have none of our own. Only God's righteousness is what we have. We must examine ourselves always and make changes necessary to be more like Christ. You know, we can measure ourselves against the Ten Commandments. We can look at each one and, okay, I'm doing good there, okay there. But how are we doing with the third commandment? That's just about our everyday life, our everyday speech, our behavior, our attitudes, our heart. It's more on display than anything else of any of those other commandments. So, brethren, we need to examine ourselves all the time, as we do before Passover, before any of the holy days. We need to be doing it all year round, every day. We need to consider what's coming out of our mouths and what we say and our behavior and how we conduct ourselves. So how are we doing with the third commandment?